happens in our lives when the battle rages and our faith takes a beating? Do we run and hide? Or do we run to the arms of the God who is and ask Him for more of His Spirit so that we might stand up under the trial and bring glory and honor to our King? This week on Light of the Word Radio, Pastor Jim examines the effects of spiritual warfare on our lives, on our souls, and he shows us some of the traps laid by the enemy. This ministry is sponsored by Lighthouse Baptist Church, and we're glad you're joining us. Let's get right to it, for this message is one that we all need.
Zechariah 4, verse 6. Then he said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts." Father God, as we study the scripture this morning, may your message come to those who are here. Father, this body has been ravaged with many trials, many tribulations, persecutions. Father, there has been spiritual warfare that has been taking place, and this body is weary. But we have not fallen because of your Holy Spirit. We have not fallen because you are our God. And so today, Father, from your word, through this, your servant, I ask that you would bring a message of encouragement and strength to this body and to those who would hear it. We give you the glory, Father, because you alone are worthy. In the name of Christ Jesus, I pray. Amen. As I was praying this morning and going through the message that was prepared, which is Zechariah's praise of God, my heart became very heavy because this church has had a lot of heavy things happening here lately, haven't we? We've had a number of things. In fact, we called a special time of prayer this week that we did online because there's been so many things happening. And this morning, as people were coming in and I was greeting people as they were coming in before Sunday school, and there are things that are going on in the lives of others in this body that haven't been a part of our prayer list yet because they're heavy on the hearts of the people. So I realize, and I have realized, Cynthia and I have discussed this, but there is a great spiritual battle going on. And it's not just this church. It is not just our listeners. There is a spiritual battle that is raging on, and the Christian, the true church, is facing this battle. We saw prayer requests come in this week from California, a brother out there. He couldn't say what was going on, just asked for prayer. Seen prayer requests come in from Oklahoma this week. Seen prayer requests come in from Missouri. They're coming in from all over the place, and it's true brothers and sisters in Christ that are asking for prayer because they're under attack. There's a battle taking place in this world, and it's a spiritual battle. We may not see it with our eyes or even realize sometimes that that's what it is, but that is what it is. It is a spiritual battle. And as we fight this spiritual battle, our enemy is ruthless. There is no one who is safe from our enemy, except for those that the Lord has said this far and no further. And that's it. Our days are filled with us. We get up and we go into the workforce, into the world. And I'm afraid that too often we are ill-prepared, ill-equipped, and we're not ready to face the schemes of the devil. Now, I don't believe in giving the devil a lot of credit, because there's nothing that he or those who serve him can do to you and I except that God has allowed it for God's purposes and God's purposes alone. But we would be foolish if we did not prepare ourselves against the one who we refuse to give the credit to, because he is real and he is bringing the attack. Each one of us could tell of a different attack on yourself or someone you love. Those attacks, they come in all sorts of disguises. They come in all sorts of ways. Some of it is physical. Has anyone had a physical issue that is an attack that is to keep you from, one, coming and worshiping, two, from serving God and being all that you can be before God for His glory? We have, haven't we? Some of the attacks that we see are not our physical condition, but on the physical condition of others that we care about. I don't know about you, but when someone I care about hurts or is sick, that is worse than me being sick or hurting. When I care about somebody and they're hurting physically, they're sick physically, that tears me up. Some of the attacks are not just our physical bodies, but our emotions and our mental stability even. Some of the attacks are those who we love in that same area. Some of the attacks come and they look like temptation. Do you remember when the scripture says that the devil tempted Jesus? In his earthly ministry, the only time he was weaker than the moment the devil came to test him, to tempt him, was as he went to the cross. Remember, he had been fasting. And it wasn't some little fast either, was it? How long had he fasted? Remember? 40 days he had fasted. And then at the end of that time, the devil came and tried to tempt him. Part of the persecution is to ruin your witness. Some of you are here today and you are hurting. You physically hurt. Some of you are here today and you emotionally hurt. And it would have been a whole lot easier for you to stay home today, wouldn't it? It would have been a lot easier to say to yourself, I can catch it online this week and just miss. Every time you miss church because of those kind of things, somebody takes notice and they realize in their hearts that church must not be very important. Ultimately, what they're saying is God is not very important. But today you got up, you got around, and you brought yourself here to worship together. That praises God all in itself, all in itself. In John 16 and verse 33, these things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world. Jesus has overcome the world. And if you are in Him, you have overcome the world. Got a few things I'd like to share out of this. First, there is a sudden or extreme onslaught of various troubles, losses, and trials. They just seem to come out of nowhere. And you notice this never seems to be one thing. It never seems to be one thing. One thing leads to another, which leads to another. Those onslaughts come on and they attack to wear you down. There is a ruthless attack from Satan, and it brings believers to a weakness if they allow it to. In fact, it comes on so hard sometimes that it's hard to see straight, and it's certainly hard to think straight, isn't it? Look at Job. There was one report after another report after another report of loss. Remember the reason that Satan was attacking Job? Because he wanted to show what he believed to be true, that Job would curse God if God took away his blessing. Did Job curse God? In the midst of Job standing strong and not cursing God, Job got to see some of his own weakness, but he honored and glorified God still. When we're going through this, we're going through these troubles and they just keep coming. We see our own weakness, don't we? We see our desire to do what may not be right. And that includes questioning God. I hear all sorts of pastors say, well, God's big enough to take your questions. Well, He is. He is. But how much more honoring and glorifying to God when we go through these things is to say, Lord, bring me through them and teach me what you would have me to learn. Second thing is these attacks are both physical with dangerous illnesses, life-threatening loss, and the loss of life or the loss of loved ones. That takes place all around us, doesn't it? Think of the early church. Peter and James, they were arrested. They were thrown in jail. And James was beheaded. He was killed. And when he was killed, they saw that it pleased the people. Let me reword that. It pleased the citizens. Let me reword it again. It pleased the world. The ones it bothered was the church. But it pleased the world. The world really doesn't care about your loss. The world really doesn't care about your illness. In fact, what the world wants to do is they want to throw a little bit of money at it and give you as much distance as they can. I mean, face it, you've been there, right? It's a little uncomfortable sometimes to deal with somebody who is not what they were once before. Because of an illness, because of an accident, because of whatever. It's a little uncomfortable because you don't know what to say. And so what do? You put distance between you. Is that the right thing? Of course not. As Christians, we need to do what is right before God. No matter how we feel about any given situation, even when we're the ones that's being persecuted. God is in control of all those things. And there are things that are meant to destroy, and God says no. On Sunday nights right now, we've been going through Daniel. In Daniel 6, we had the story that took place with Daniel being thrown into the lion's den. Did Daniel do wrong to be thrown in? Of course not. It was an attack. And the attackers wanted to destroy and kill Daniel. But God had a different plan, didn't he? And God shut the mouths of the lions. We go back to James and Peter in prison. After James was executed, and they saw that it pleased the people, they decided they were going to execute Peter. But God had a different plan, didn't he? He had a different plan. God has a direction for you. God has a way for you. And that way will include His glory. His glory. You know, the scriptures tell us whether we eat or drink or whatever we do, do all to the glory of God. How we deal with illness, how we deal with pain, how we deal with tribulation and persecution says everything about how we believe and what we believe about Jesus Christ. Everything. Am I telling you to shut your mouth and not to tell anybody you're hurting? No, I'm not telling you that. In fact, just the opposite. As brothers and sisters, don't we want to hear and know? We want to be able to step into the gap and to pray for each other. So when you're holding back and you're not sharing these things that are going on in your life because somebody may not like it, well, that somebody who doesn't like it isn't a Christian to begin with. You share what's going on in your life so that we can be standing in the gap for you as your brothers and sisters. As we go through these things, we have a clear message from God. We went through the book of James a year or so ago. James starts out in verse 2. It says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, when you have persecution of various kinds, when you have pain, when you have illness, when you have financial trouble, when you have whatever it is that's going on, count it joy." You say, why would I? For the same reason that Paul counted it joy when he was in prison. The prison was not joy, but the God who was with him in the prison was. And the God who is with you if you belong to him in all your pain, all your illness, all your suffering, he is joyful. And he gives you that joy. Third thing here. When we're under attack, there's increased temptation. and luring towards sin and wrong choices. I mentioned earlier already that Jesus was attacked at the end of his fast. Think about it. When you have a lot going on, it's hard to fight the temptations that we face, isn't it? When you've had your buttons pushed in persecution, so to speak, is that not the time when something comes out of your mouth that doesn't honor God? Is that not the time when you begin to think of things that are wrong thoughts? Is that not the time when you're ready to give up? Ready to give up. Remember what the devil came for? To steal and what else? Destroy and kill. To steal, kill, and destroy. 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. He wants to destroy you. And the reason he wants to destroy you isn't because you are so important. But he wants to destroy the witness to Christ Jesus. He wants to destroy the witness to God that others might see the glory of God. And if you can fall into temptation because of any trial, and out of your mouth comes foul, what does that tell the world who hears it about your faith? We got to be on guard. Our struggles against temptation are real. They're powerful. And they want to tear us down. If we're honest with ourselves, every single one of us has to admit that there's been a time, let me rephrase that, there's been times when in our weakened state, we have said, thought, or done something that we knew we shouldn't have. We've turned to the world instead of to God. And it didn't help, by the way. It didn't help. One of those things that the devil loves to tempt us to is disunity within the church body. Because it's one thing to see a Christian family break apart. It's another thing when they world watches a church break apart and they say, see, that's the kind of people that are in there. That's why I'm not a Christian. As Christian brothers and sisters, we're not always going to agree on things. But as Christian brothers and sisters, we can always come together in love, can't we? The devil brings before us, and when I say the devil, I shouldn't be saying the enemy, because it's not the devil himself. We aren't Jesus. He's not attacking you and I. It's those who follow him. It's the demons. It's the fallen angels, whatever you want to call them. He has far more important people to address than you and I. But he has a myriad, a third of the heavenly hosts that follow him. And they bring the attack. And they cause us to want to sin. We have to stand strong. Because what they want is anything that clouds the name of Jesus Christ. Quite frankly, it isn't about your name and my name. It's about the name that we go by. The sign out there in the hall from Chronicles says, if my people who are called by my name, we are called Christian, which is, we are called by the name of Christ Jesus. And if we're called by the name of Christ Jesus, anything that the enemy can do to show that we really have not surrendered and that he really has no preeminence in our life, he will do. So we have to stand strong. And one of those places of temptation is in despair. Have you ever felt like everything's going wrong? Nothing's going right? It feels like everywhere you turn in the last week, from last Sunday to this Sunday, five people have told me they have considered doing themselves in this week. Five! Folks, I have a small circle. What do you think the number of Christians, the number of church people around the country is that feels that despair that they don't know where to turn, even though they know the name of Jesus Christ? Number four is the feelings of overwhelming despair and darkness. And what does that bring? It brings fear. Many struggle with anxiety, feel alone, feel so alone that it feels like even when there's somebody standing next to them, there's nobody to help them. Just before I came up here, I ran back to my office and I grabbed this book. Has anyone ever read any of this book? Fox's Book of Martyrs. It tells stories of people who belonged to Christ Jesus, for whatever reason, were killed because of their faith. Those like John Huss, Wycliffe, and there's a lot of names in here that unless you've read this or read something about that particular person, you've probably never heard of. You know, there's others in here like Martin Luther. God's people will come under attack. And the goal of the attacker is to take you out, to bring darkness in on you. Think of the story of John Bunyan. Prison. Prison because he was teaching the scripture and writing the scripture into a common language. Because he was telling people about the word of God. Darkness flooded him. Every single martyr had darkness flood him. Think about Jesus' trial. When Pontius Pilate is trying to get out of crucifying him. And so he brings out the criminal, the killer. Surely the people would rather have the gentleman than the killer loose among them. But it was such a dark crowd. When he said, which would you have? They said, Barabbas. Barabbas. When he said, what shall I do with the one named Jesus? They chanted, crucify him. Crucify him. Darkness overcomes us. And sometimes that darkness feels so heavy that we feel like we're suffocating under it, doesn't it? Number five, something that the attacks will bring to is deep confusion. Feelings of condemnation, feelings of guilt, and dulled spiritual awareness. There's a slow, constant pulling on you, Christian, on you, every single one of you. Constant pulling away from God. That pulling away from God is continual. Some of the ways it manifests itself is reduced prayer. Reduced time in His Word. When we start reducing our prayer, we start reducing our time in His Word, pretty soon we're starting to feel distance from God. When we feel distance from God, we feel distance from our brothers and sisters in Christ. And all of a sudden, we're back to that being alone again. With that comes the guilt. I've always taught people that the hardest three Sundays to go to church are the first three after you've been out for a while. It's hard to come. And the reason is guilt. Shame. You feel like, if I go back to church, they're going to judge me. Folks, do you judge somebody who has been missing for a while and shows back up? What do? You love them, don't you? You love them. But that's not the thought that goes through their mind. If you've missed church for a while, for whatever reason, and when it's time to come back, think about it. Didn't you feel worried, ashamed, guilt, concerned about being condemned by the very people you need most in your life? Along with that comes bitterness, conflict, broken relationships, people you once cared about within the body, you begin to distance yourself from. And if they are truly your brother and sister and love you, they're going to come out and tell you that you're not doing right and that you need to be back. If you're truly their brother and sister, they're going to come alongside you to point you at Christ and point out your sin, not to condemn you, but to help you out of it. But the devil, the enemy, is going to tell you that they are condemning you. They're condemning you that you have been gone. They're condemning you because you have these emotions. They're condemning you because you sinned and they're perfect. That's what the enemy tells you. As soon as you think in your mind that somebody else is perfect, you know you're not thinking clearly, right? Because who is perfect? Jesus Christ. Period. A couple of texts I'd like to share here. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 33. God reminds us in His Word, He says this, that He is not the author of confusion, but of peace. or Romans 8. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There's no condemnation, but there is a called repentance, isn't there? So when the devil has been attacking you, when the enemy has brought you to this place, you need to repent because you are not condemned. You need to turn away from those things and turn to God.
Amen. The lies of the enemy are always designed to pull us away from God. They're always aimed at making us believe that we are alone and unloved. They use every tool they can to manipulate. Guilt, temptation, anxiety, despair, danger, loss, condemnation, and sorrow of every kind. All of these things are intended to drive a wedge between us and our God. But God, the King of all things and the ruler of all, reminds us that no temptation has seized us except what is common to man. That He is faithful and always provides a way to escape in the midst of the trial. No matter what you face, the answer is always the same, beloved. Look to Christ. Fly to the cross of Jesus and seek to be closer to God. You're always safe in His arms. Remember that nothing touches you except it first passes through the loving hands of our omnipotent and perfect Father. We want to thank you for joining us today, and we would love to hear from you. If you want to hear more of Pastor Jim, you can find him on the web at www.sermonaudio.com. Just search for Lighthouse Southern Baptist Church. If you've been blessed by this message or have questions about the content or about our ministry, if you have need of counsel or guidance or want us to pray for you, please reach out to us and let us know. We can be reached in many different ways. We can be called toll-free at 800-416-9352, or you can find us on the web at www.lightoftheWordRadio.com, or you can reach us by mail at Light of the Word Radio, P.O. Box 1, St. George, Kansas, 66535. When you reach out to us in any of these ways, you can also inquire about participating in support of this ministry. If you desire to partner with us to keep this broadcast on the air, please let us know. We would like to send you a gift of appreciation. At your request, for a gift of any size, we'll send you the book On This Day, A Daily Guide to Spiritual Lessons from Christian History by Dr. Paul E. Barkey. This 640-page book is organized around each day in the calendar using stories from history with a biblical lesson for each. On This Day brings great stories from history to us and applies them to help lift our eyes upward to see the God who governs all of history. It's just one of Dr. Barkey's daily devotions that brings lessons to light from history, and it's yours free as a thank you for a gift of any size. Just mention that you would like the book when you call or write. This has been Light of the Word Radio, sponsored by Lighthouse Baptist Church. We want to thank you for allowing us to spend some time with you. We hope that you'll join us next time. Until then, I'm Pastor Eugene, and on behalf of all of us here at Light of the Word Radio, thanks, and may God bless you and bless the hearing of His Word.
Hello, friends. Pastor Jim here with today's final word. Have you ever been in a situation where people come down on you? Christians, other people, even within the church body, who just can't seem to find anything positive to say, and they come down, they're hard. Well, it ought not to be that way. And we can't control what other people do, but we can control what we do, what we say. And we need to follow the commandments of Jesus Christ. We need to do what is right according to Him. Colossians 4:6. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. Colossians 3:12. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience. How about Matthew 5:7? Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Friends, if you disagree with somebody, give them grace. It's amazing to me how people will attack each other because they wear a mask or don't wear a mask, because they think a vaccine is a good thing or they don't think vaccine is a good thing. As Christians, let it be love that we are known by. Yes, I know we need to make stands, but we can still do those stands with mercy and kindness. Until next time, Sola Deo Gloria.